Yeah, there should be some passion. This doesn't have to be boring.
Okay, one thing the game needs is more people like you.
Still have grown men run around tight pants.
It's Mookie Betts.
This is Daniel Bard.
It's Steve Aoki.
Here's Saul Tolamacchia.
This is Brock Holt.
Hey, this is John Lester.
Baseball isn't boring.
Welcome to Baseball Isn't Boring. Here's your host, Rob Radford.
There's no human being on the planet I'd rather be talking to than Tyler Phillips. Zero. First of all, congratulations on everything.
Thank you.
Second of all, congratulations on your glasses. Those next level.
Yeah. Had to have some fun with them.
Well, it's good. So we're in the middle of we're at the end of Players Weekend. And what I really want to talk to you, you've got a great personality. I want to talk to you about sort of like baseball and personality.
Yeah.
Because that's what we do. So when you have Players Weekend, you have the cleats, which, by the way, what do you got?
I don't know. My son and wife painted them.
Okay.
Big Spider-Man fan, Superman, I guess.
All right.
Yeah, just having some fun with it.
That's all good. But so when you think of baseball and personality, like you've obviously, like I said, like good personality.
Yeah.
And I just saw you sign autographs. And you know, I think that if we can grow the great game just by signing autographs 10 minutes a day, I'm talking a lot. But
yeah.
So for you, what do you think the game's at in this respect?
With
like personality,
personality. I mean,
because it's been a process.
Yeah, you see more and more guys show it.
Yeah.
I mean, I think a few years ago, people were getting mad. The guys were swinging 3-0, stuff like that. Guys were bat flipping. You have fun with the game. I mean, that's kind of where I'm at. I spent 9-10 seasons in the minor leagues. I've had my ups, had my downs, and the downs are a lot harder if you're not having fun with it. You know.
Yeah.
You know, I'll go out there, have a bad outing or something. There's no point on dwelling on it. So just got to have fun. Come in the next day, crack some jokes with the guys. You're here for 162 games plus spring training. And the offseason's not really an offseason either. So
yeah,
I think the more fun you have with it, the easier the game gets because, like I said, it's a game.
Has that evolved?
I think so.
Yeah.
When I was, like, way younger, when, like, the hazing and everything was still around.
Yeah.
But even then, like, I don't mind that. Because it keeps it fun, keeps it loose, but you know,
to a point,
like there was like rookies were feeling uncomfortable,
yeah.
And I believe in like a rookie still paying his dues. Wow, these are fogging up on me.
That's all right.
I believe in rookies.
Congratulate you on the glasses, and they let you down.
Yeah, I believe in rookies paying their dues, but at the same time, I want all of us to feel comfortable playing with each other. I think you play better when you're loose. You know, you look at guys like Miggy. Like I saw a video of him the other day. You look at all these videos. Whoever, I forgot who it was, stole the nachos from someone when they went and caught a foul ball. You know, just having fun. Keeps a memory for future generations that might want to play the game.
It's so true, though. I mean,
yeah.
We've talked about this a bunch where it seems so archaic.
Yeah.
That people that, oh, you got to pay your dues. And, well, isn't the goal to play well?
Yeah.
Isn't the goal to get
yeah.
the best?
However you're going to play well,
yeah.
If you need to go on the mound and kick the ball,
yeah.
go kick the ball. You know, like there's the videos of me, like, hitting myself.
Yeah.
That's what's going to make me get in my zone when I go out there. I was talking to Josh Simpson about it. He does his own little thing, but sometimes he tries to do it a little bit more reserved than I do. I don't care what
yeah.
people think about me. But, you know, if whatever you're going to do to make you perform at the highest level, go and do it. If you want to have fun, if you're cracking jokes to your third baseman while you're pitching, go and be that guy.
Who was the guy when we were growing up, you're younger than that. Congratulations.
Yeah.
But who is the guy that you sort of emulated that you're like, oh man, I like to go, wait, that guy played, the guy acted, that guy carried himself?
Oh, goodness. I grew up a Phillies fan. I like all the Phillies. I always loved like the middle infield.
What was your sweet spot Phillies team?
Like 2005 through 2008.
Okay.
Yeah, I think when like
they're short of 2009.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like I love Jimmy. Like he was
someone
I always loved watching play. Chase Utley always played the game hard.
Yeah.
And then you obviously had the pitchers in that time period, the four aces.
But I don't feel. I'm trying to think back. There wasn't a lot of like wacky.
Nah, I don't think so. I don't remember who it was. One guy carried his glove on his head all the time. And I remember always enjoying that, but
I'm not saying you have to be wacky.
When I'm on the mound, though, like when I cross the line, it's like killer mode. When I'm on the other side of the line, it's like we're gonna be goofy.
Okay.
So like the other day, I saw ball four with the athletics. I was like, yeah, that guy's psycho. And John Rocker, we talk about a lot. That's another one.
Yeah.
You know, probably not the greatest if you're looking to not be canceled, but
it is
what it is.
We'll separate the two. but it's a great point. Yeah. Like there's Balfour. Oh my goodness.
Yeah,
that's a deep cut.
I like watching like that killer mentality when you're on the mound. But again, like once I'm off the mound, it's like, hey, be loose, be relaxed, be a good teammate. Try to make the 162 games not feel like a job.
Yeah.
I don't really know who would be wacky though.
I mean, wacky isn't the right. The personality.
Nah, dude, I'm wacky.
Yeah,
like, I'm wacky.
What's the wackiest thing you've ever done?
I cannot disclose that.
Well, I mean, that's PG. Baseball isn't boring after dark.
Baseball, yeah. I mean, you're around a bunch of guys. Like having 25 brothers. You know, if you could imagine what a household like that would look like. It gets a little raunchy, a little not PG anymore.
It's all good.
I don't know. We mess around a lot, make a lot of noises, throw seeds at each other, whatever. I don't know.
I mean, yeah. It also the bullpen, it's a whole weird thing. Baseball is a weird thing.
Yeah.
Like where you have the bullpen, where you have a bunch of guys isolated.
Yeah.
You have the dugout. You have the clubhouse. Yeah.
I mean, we're way out there. You know, if you have a good bullpen and you have a good view of the game, then you can watch the game. And then if you're sitting behind a chain link fence in the corner and you can't see anything, then it's like, we got to find ways to pass the time.
What's the best passing the time thing you've ever done?
Gosh, early in the year we were just doing some pretty good would you rathers. I can't really share either. They get questionable.
That's fair.
I wish I could share them, but I don't know. I probably wouldn't be here tomorrow.
Well, let me ask you this. So this is a question I've asked bullpen guys, like fights, brawls.
Yeah.
Very big debate. It's sort of have you had to run in on one yet?
Just been the pushing and shoving around little bit.
No, but have you had to run in on one?
This year we've had two that I ran in on.
Okay.
Yeah.
Which is, it's a weird dynamic.
Yeah.
Especially if you're like in a bullpen or like the Phillies.
By the time you get in,
the Phillies, you have to go down the stairs.
Yeah.
All three have to go down the stairs.
Yeah, you got
to
wait for the other bullpen to get out there in front of you. I mean, by the time we get in there, everything's de-escalated and it's just like, what are we doing here? Yeah. We're still riled up and coaching staff's like, no, it's okay. No, we just got here, man. We want to know what's going on.
And then you trudge
like,
back.
Fans are booing you and everything, so now you gotta talk crap back to them.
Have you ever charged you at all or?
Not me, no.
No, okay. No. You're a big guy, no one's gonna do that.
I mean I don't know if I look that hard on the mound, but you know, I haven't done anything yet that has warranted a charging.
Okay. I wanna come back to when you cross the line. When you have that mentality that I'll give you another one. Go Google this one, Al Hrabowski. Like he's the mad Hungarian.
Yeah, yeah.
It's a good one.
Yeah.
So when you go there, like what is, have you always been that way?
I think it was like on and off for a while.
Yeah.
And then Tommy John, that when you go through a surgery and you go through that year and a half of just getting better and working on things, you get into your season again and you are still in that working on things mode. I threw an outing, or I threw pretty decent, I think. It wasn't like the greatest outing of my life, but I think you could just sense that I was hoping that I did well.
Yeah.
And my outfield coordinator with the Phillies at the time, Andy Abad, he came up to me.
Oh, yeah. I knew Andy Abad.
He's
a former pitcher/hitter/pitcher.
He's a wacky one.
Yeah.
That's my guy, Peace. He came up to me while I was shagging BP out there, and he got on me a little and said, like, dude, like, you need to make these guys behind you want to play behind you. They need to, like, feel your presence. They need to feel your energy on the mound. Yesterday, it felt like you were scared. It felt like you were just hoping that you did well. I was like, it kind of hit me hard.
Yeah.
And he told me a story. Long story short, he was in BP, and he borrowed $100 from someone, put it in his belt loop, and he said every time the pitcher throws that ball, he's trying to reach and take that $100 from you. He said, do your job the same way, just on the opposite end of the spectrum. Every time you throw a pitch, that hitter's trying to take the money out of your pocket, trying to take the food off your plate. I have a family. I have a 4-year-old. He said he painted my cleats for me. Got another one on the way. and I have to fend for them. I love the game. That's why I play it. But when I'm on that mound, that hitter, they don't feel bad. Like, that, it could be Shohei Ohtani or Juan Soto, a $700 million player. They don't feel bad if I didn't get a good night's sleep because my son peed the bed or something. They're still going up there not saying, like, oh, this is a rookie. Like, I'm going to go easy on him. They're going to try to hit a home run. They don't care about me.
That's a great way to look
so
at it.
So when I get on that mound, I don't care about them. They have their money. They got their contract.
You have your $100 bill?
Barely. I got maybe like $10 in my wallet.
No, well, I mean, do you put it in your belt?
I don't.
You know what? I just gave you a baseball and boring sticker. Like, they're trying to take that away from you.
Know.
But that's, oh my goodness. Like, that is next level. That is awesome.
So, I mean, that's, there's a few outings this year, you know, first time relieving. There's a few outings this year where I was adjusting to it, trying to figure out what was going on. And, you know, some days the adrenaline hits you, and some days it's like, I don't know, if it's a 10-1 game and you're either way up or way behind, it's hard to get that adrenaline going. So when that phone rings, it's time to lock in. And if you can't do it, that's where I took my slapping myself, you know?
Yeah.
If someone punches you in the face or slaps you in the face, I would challenge you to not be pissed off, right?
Yeah.
So I do that. I get my energy, my adrenaline comes in, and I take that anger right into the hitter, and it's just right to attack mode.
It's clear mechanism.
There's no thinking about, oh, like, what does this guy swing at first pitch? What has this guy been slugging? It doesn't matter. I just go out there. Like, I don't care who you are. I'm gonna come right at you and do your best.
That is awesome.
Yeah.
Again, it's clear mechanism.
Yeah.
With like for the love of the game. It's
yeah.
Like, that's awesome. But so we had never met each other. So and I don't. So the baseball isn't boring thing is the it started 2022. I don't know if you know the guy who I started this with, Joe Kelly.
Yeah, yeah.
So you remind me talking to him. You remind me a lot of him.
Yeah, I mean, he's fun to watch.
Well, that's what I mean.
Super fun to watch.
Like not giving a shit, like, in a good way.
Yeah.
Like, going right at you, understanding is fun, game is fun.
Yeah.
It's like, all of this, it's like, there's a lot when I'm hearing you talk, and, you know, Joe and I did a book together.
Yeah, yeah.
And, but, and you, for congratulations, you just earned a t-shirt, too.
Thank
but,
you.
But, and if you do want to, I'll show you the, we both got...
Oh, that's sick, dude.
So we said if he won the World Series, we would get tattoos together.
That.
So if you win the World Series, will you get a baseball and boring tattoo? Do you have any tattoos?
Probably good. I don't. I want to get one. Weston Wilson with the Phillies. When we were in AAA together, he had tattoos. I was going to do my baseball reference, like what number player I was.
Okay.
I think it's like 23,233. So you can get that across the leg. A bunch of guys were doing that. But... if I could find a good spot to get a baseball,
you can
boring,
do whatever you want. You don't have to do.
Dude,
like
it's the, not. But that's the thing. Like, the game isn't boring.
No,
and I think there's a lot of rules that are like these unwritten rules that people have to follow. Again, like, you don't want to disrespect the game. That's something I've always like prided myself on, respecting the game. But social media becoming such a big thing, being canceled, whatever it is, like. People reserve themselves so much for the game.
They want to get out their brand on their terms.
Yeah, I don't care. I'm going to have some fun. I'm going to obviously try to be a good influence towards children as best I can. Unless I'm crossing the line, don't watch me, kids.
Yeah.
If I cross the line, maybe high schoolers. Yeah, it's got to be like PG-13.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, like, if I can influence kids to have fun, and if I can influence my teammates to be themselves and have fun, however they're going to play the game at the highest level, that's what it's all about.
It really is.
Yeah.
I mean, do you read books at all?
I do. Like, off-season more so than in-season.
We're going to make sure you get a damn near perfect game co-authored by me and Joe.
Okay.
And Tom Hanks just proclaimed it the book of the summer. Of course, he did it 2 years after it came out. Yeah.
Wow.
But it's your – if I would have quoted you in the book, because we quoted people who fell in love with the game.
Uh-huh.
And have the perspective that you have.
Yeah.
And the thing is, what was your first major league game you went to?
Veterans
Stadium.
Yeah, it was at the Vet. I think it was Phillies Cubs. All I know is that the Phillies won like 25-1.
Okay.
Yeah, my dad was super stoked. He's like, "Oh, this kid's a good luck charm." So.
He didn't know that before. By the way, your dad's name Frank.
It's Dan. My grandpa's name is Frank.
Frank.
My dad's
okay.
Dad. Yeah.
Dude, you gotta get a better Wikipedia page.
Yeah, I should probably just go on there and alter it, right?
We could do that for you.
Yeah, just go put whatever you want.
I'd be like, you're an interesting guy.
Yeah.
I feel like, yeah. So. It's like your son's afraid of mascots.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah. He's not a big fan. He's warming up to him now.
Okay. All right. But like I said, this is goals. So it's like we have to. If I do nothing else, I want to make sure everyone. And I know that you've gotten out there. Your personality's gotten out there. But I think guys like you, it's important to get like your voice out there, mentality out there.
Yeah. I mean, last year, and that's another thing. I think from last year to this year, when you first get called up, especially I was with the Phillies. Unbelievable team, unbelievable guys there, a lot of talent, a lot of veterans. You want to be a good rookie.
Yeah.
I think that was the worst thing that I did for myself is I was trying so hard to juggle being a good rookie, being a good player, being a good son and husband and a good father. It was just five jobs in itself. And I think if I could go back, I would express myself a little bit more. And, you know, like if somebody has an issue with it, then that's their problem.
But that's a hard one because that's of all veteran. That's probably the most veteran clubhouse in the game.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not. Obviously, you can't go in there and you can't be this loud, just obnoxious rookie because guys are trying to accomplish a mission there. But at the end of the day, you have other guys there. You got your Brandon Marsh, who has a ton of fun playing the game.
Yeah,
and
Strom,
once you warm
in the book.
Yeah, like once you warm up and you begin to express yourself, then guys respect you more.
Yeah.
And you take care of yourself on the field, they're not going to be mad at it as long as you're performing.
Yeah.
You know, like, again, there's a fine line between, like, being arrogant, being obnoxious, taking up other guys' time, taking up their space. But, like I said, if you're going to do something that's going to make you play well, and I think over the years I've learned that just being myself is where I'm going to be the best. And last year I was too nervous to show it.
Not to say, you learned it, but it must be a little bit, like, to your point, a little bit of a regret, not only because, like, hey, listen, that was my rookie year, I should have acted like this, I feel like I left that one behind, but also because, to your point, I think that clubhouse would probably appreciated it, because I've been around that team a little bit.
Yeah.
Like, I say it's, like, a great clubhouse because there are a bunch of guys who are secure in themselves.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but, I mean, I was starting to open up a little bit more in spring training after a stat, like, I can't even say establishing myself, but after being there for however many days I was, like a little over a month, I was warming up to the guys a little bit more. They had a little talent show, and that's another one I can't share what I did.
Oh.
It was completely over the top. But you know what? Like when I had the idea, I said, it doesn't matter. I'm going to show these guys that there is nothing they can do to make me feel uncomfortable that I wouldn't do myself. And if I do that, it shows confidence, and they're going to be like, you know what, we can respect this guy. As weird as it got, hopefully they can respect me. If they don't, F them.
Yeah.
Get to face them later on.
Talk about fork in the road moments.
Yeah.
Like, who knew the talent show was going to be that fork in the road moment?
I mean, that's what they were telling me. Brandon Marsh, going back to him, he's told me in the outfield, if I face you, dude, I can't get the picture of what you did out of my head. And I was on the mound, you know, mean mugging, but that's what I'm thinking about. Yeah, Marshy's probably up there picturing me doing what I did.
Yeah.
I'm going to go put him away right here.
I can't wait till you get a little bit older so we can review. So the last thing is the question we ask everyone. I've got a feeling you'll have a good answer, which is, I was going to ask you about, like, do you talk to Uber drivers, but whatever. Do you talk to Uber drivers?
When I was younger, we would always have a story to make up.
Yeah. Oh, you did?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, if that's where you're going.
Yeah. I mean, I just had a run of Uber drivers. It was the All-Star Game in Atlanta. And I, like, had a run of, like, these people, like, all nice people, but they all had these weird stories.
Yeah.
One guy played in the USFL. One 40-year-old woman. I said, my thing is, what's your dream job? Because that clearly isn't their dream job.
Oh, goodness.
And then she said, I haven't really thought about that. I'm like, you're 40, man. Like, you got to start thinking about this. So, anyway, it just got me thinking.
Yeah.
So you had stories.
Well, I mean, if we're going to go dream job, I'm doing it.
Okay. No. Uber
story.
Yeah.
Usually, like, the fake job that I gave them a lot. It was usually with other teammates too. We would just, I don't know, a certain COD had came out, and we're just like, yeah, like, let's be like independent, like, contractors, but like not like construction or anything.
Yeah.
Like, we're gonna be like just trained killers. and the guys are like, they're like trying to like get to the point where it's like, oh, like what do you guys build? Like, oh, what are you contracting? Stuff like that. And we're just like, oh, you know, like Blackout 300s, like these different type of guns. Like, what are you talking about? And then it just starts to get weird. And then the person, you can slowly feel them getting quieter. And we're just in the back, like, tight, like texting each other, like, what's the next thing we're gonna go for? And we're just literally painting a Call of Duty campaign picture for this person. They're just like, we got to get this guy out of the car. So that's probably my favorite one to do. It's a good laugh for us when
that's
we get
out.
That's
a good one. I'm glad I asked you that question.
Yeah. We make the Ubers a little uncomfortable. Sorry if
how's
that's
your
ever
rating?
Happened.
I always worry about my rating.
No, my rating was always pretty good because I think
they're petrified.
I spoke well, and they're probably a little scared.
Yeah.
Recently, it went down though after a New Year's Eve soiled a guy's car. Yeah, that was, sorry, bro. So I was partying. I was partying with the boys.
Did you see the rating go down immediately?
I didn't see anything actually.
Oh,
believe
really?
It or not,
okay.
I was seeing darkness. And my wife told me, yeah, your rating went down and you lost $200 from your wallet because I had to pay the guy to clean his car. I was like, oh, okay.
Hey, what a way to ring in 2025, right?
Yeah.
So the question was, why isn't baseball boring? Then there's no wrong answers.
Why isn't baseball boring?
Yeah.
Huh.
It's
a good one, man.
No wrong answers. And if it can be one word,
there's so many different cultures that come into this game and so many different ideas. None of my humor is my own humor. I steal it from different guys over the years and just add my own stuff to it. Man, it's a game. I don't know. It's a game. That's really like the only answer I got.
No. It's like, you know what? It's the most unique game. It's a game. Here's, I'm going to, you can say no, like that's wrong, but it's a game that represents so many pieces of life more than any other game.
Yeah, that's a really good point. Yeah. I mean, I don't think I can have a single conversation outside of the field that doesn't involve baseball.
Yeah.
My wife tells me something like some story about someone, like, you know, in baseball, that the same thing happens when you throw a ball, that adversity comes in. It's like, I'm like, she's like, what are you talking about? I don't know. It's all I know.
But it relates.
When I was in high school, I would scribble autographs in my notebook just trying to practice it because this is all I wanted to do. My notes were horrible. I didn't take care of my school, which is something that I will always tell kids now, take care of school, because if you want a good signing bonus, they got to buy you out of that college commitment. But no, you want to be educated.
Can you write cursive?
That's for one. I can, yeah. I can write it and read it, yeah. I was probably the last,
you
generation.
You can do a Q and a Z.
I can do it all.
All right, because most people can just give you autographs, so.
It is, to your point, it emulates life, I think, in a good way. And you fall in love with this game for a reason. I think when I was probably that first Cubs game, and when I saw that twinkle in my dad's eye, this kid's a good luck charm. But
yeah,
I mean, it started for me playing wiffle ball in the backyard.
Oh,
just playing with that, man. I mean, that's like a memory. Sometimes I stay up at night thinking about it, and I get choked up. I'm like, man, like, I love what I do. I love this game. I love that my dad, my grandpa, my mom, I love everything that they've done for me to help build this love for the game. And I think that's why it isn't boring, because it's I don't know, as weird as it sounds, baseball is love, man.
So you just made my day. I woke up this morning, I'm like, this is a great thing about doing this.
Yeah.
Is that we didn't know each other. I didn't know you, and we just having a conversation, and you just saying that, like, okay, now I feel like being here.
Yeah.
I'm like, oh man, I can't believe they're shutting off the ice cream machine in the third inning.
We got one in the clubhouse. We want some.
Well,
bring it out to you in the bullpen.
So, yeah. Hey, thank you. I appreciate it, man.
Of course.
Follow Baseball Isn't Boring in the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.